Here's your money briefing. I'm J.R. Whelan at the Wall Street Journal in New York. Who doesn't love to go to the Olive Garden? It's a great restaurant, but how does it stay in business? By offering its never-ending pasta pass every year. Wall Street Journal news editor Lee Hawkins takes over the interviewer's chair in a moment to get to the bottom of the pasta bowl. First, some money and market news you should know. American shoppers gave the U.S. economy a boost in July, but their outlook for the rest of the year is growing a bit cloudy. The Commerce Department says the retail sales rose 0.7% in July compared to June, but the latest reading of consumer sentiment fell to a seven-month low. The survey of consumers shows the interest rate cut by the Federal Reserve, as well as the ongoing trade battle with China, is beginning to weigh on consumer shopping spirits. Now, the news isn't dire. Despite the pullback in sentiment, including the feeling that inflation will inch higher in the coming months, the measurement of how consumers view the future is still at a historically high level. And teens, as well as those in Generation Z, are likely to be happy about their finances. Summer unemployment among young Americans is the lowest it's been since the 1960s. The Labor Department says that for Americans between ages 16 and 24, the jobless rate ticked down to 9.1% in July from 9.2% a year ago. That's the lowest such rate since July 1966. Let's digest these numbers just a bit. The jobless rate reflects a lower labor participation rate among young people. That's mainly because more students are taking summer courses or building their resumes with unpaid internships, which indicates a shift to a knowledge-based economy. Also, wages from summer jobs are unlikely to make a dent in tuition costs, and that deters some would-be summer workers. Up next, Lee Hawkins on the legend of the Olive Garden's Unlimited Pasta Pass.
Darden Restaurant's next earnings report comes in September, and the balance sheet of its flagship brand, Olive Garden, is closely followed by investors. The restaurant chain has seen great success over the past 4 years with its never-ending pasta pass, which lets customers pay $100 for a card that gives them unlimited food for 9 weeks. And 50 of those people spent $500 to eat unlimited pasta for a lifetime. How does this promotion help Olive Garden cook up success? Let's check in with WSJ Heard on the Street editor Spencer Jacob to help us break down the numbers. So Spencer, I know you said $100 for unlimited food, but there are actually limits. You have to pay extra for things like drinks. So is that where Olive Garden makes its money?
First of all, it's a great promotion. I mean, you know, there are just dozens and dozens of articles, including in our paper, about the promotion. So it's great publicity for the chain. Second of all, it's coming at a time of year when their restaurants are not that full in September, October, November. You know, they're not really packed. And so it's not like people are going to be like, you know, standing in line and waiting for all these pasta pass people. Also, you know, go and eat an Olive Garden. Are you going to eat by yourself? Are you going to bring, you know, your wife or your husband or your kids? You know, unless they have pasta passes, they're paying customers. Also, you know, you're probably going to get a drink, you're going to get dessert. So it's difficult for them to lose money. They have a calculation that, you know, if you were just going in there and just eating by yourself, that by the ninth time you ate pasta, you know, you'd be breaking even. On average, people eat 14 times. That was the number last year. So people are getting their money's worth. But pasta's not that expensive.
And Wall Street is on board with this promotion?
Wall Street likes it because, you know, the results have been pretty good. You know, since 2014, they've been doing this. And 2014 happens to be about the time that they really turned this chain around. This was a really ailing chain. You know, it's the biggest in the company overall. It's not the fastest growing, but it's being, you know, doing quite well. And Darden overall is doing quite well. So, you know, you certainly can't fault them for it. You know, whether this specific promotion is what turned things around for them, it's doubtful, but it certainly has helped, and it creates buzz, it creates a lot of goodwill, creates a lot of jokes too. You know?
This is a carb lover's dream. You've purchased one of these cards in the past yourself, and you also wrote a story about a man who ate every meal at an Olive Garden every day to get his money's worth.
You know, I sort of did it as I wrote about it, and I figured, you know, like the day before the thing came out, I was like, you know, I wonder if I could win it. So I had my laptop and my iPad and my phone. It was clicking all three, and I won. And I ate there, I think, for 6 weeks straight, every single day, made sure I had a breadstick and everything. And you can get seconds. I mean, I'm a small guy. And I got up at 4:45 every morning to go to the gym to try to work off the carbs. And I asked the guy at the gym, the guy who runs the gym, who, you know, ironically enough, he was the trainer for the cast of The Sopranos, who, you know.
Oh, my gosh.
I said, like, you know, hey, do you think I could eat all this pasta and sort of and not gain weight, maybe turn it into muscle? And he's like, looked at me like, he thought I was pulling his leg, but he was, no way. You know, it's pasta. You're going to get fat. And I gained 6 pounds, so don't eat at Olive Garden every day. Don't eat everything on your plate like I did.
This kind of marketing promotion has worked for Olive Garden in the past, as you say, and it seems to be pretty confident that its projections are reliable. And this, and like in past years, will be a runaway success. What's the math behind that confidence?
In terms of being a pure moneymaker, it's probably not going to move the needle very much. This year, they had 24,000. They've been raising the number every single year. On average, last year, people used it 14 times. You break even on the ninth time. But it's not like people were going to go 14 times during, you know, that 9-week period. Also, that's at the retail price. I mean, the cost of pasta is not that high, even with the toppings and meat and stuff like that. You know, they're making a pretty nice margin on this food. So, you know, you would have to eat there a lot more than 14 times to actually cost them money. Now, Alan Martin, who holds the record at 140 times, he costs them money, but actually he gets a pasta pass for free every year. They mail it to him because, you know, he created so much goodwill and he's just such a funny guy. And I think,
okay, but this has not worked out for every business. I mean, in the early 80s, for instance, American Airlines offered free unlimited first class flights for an upfront fee of $250,000, $250,000. And that didn't end very well. What happened?
So that was a little different. Back in the early 1980s, American Airlines was really in trouble. And they said, how do we raise a lot of money really quickly? Like, let's have this deal. And then they never imagined how enthusiastic people would be. There were a few people who were sort of super users of this pass, who basically cost them over $1 million a year in free flights. You know, they'd fly to Paris for lunch and then come back. And they bought companion passes and they'd see someone in the airport who was stranded and say, hey, come on, I'll fly. You know, as long as you fly with me, I'll fly with you to wherever you're going. You know, and so it became too expensive, and it actually turned into a really bad PR stunt for them because they wound up like having private investigators follow some of these guys alleging that they were misusing it and abusing it. And Mark Cuban, by the way, was one of the people who bought one of the passes.
I saw that.
Yeah, and so that did not work out too well. This is not a company that's desperate to raise money. They have plenty of money. They don't need, you know, to sell 24,000 passes at $100 a pop to raise money. As a matter of fact, you know, these passes sold out instantly. You know, if they raise the price to $200 or $300, there are probably people who would pay that much, or they could raise a lot more money. The goal isn't to raise money from the sale of the passes. The goal is to get people in the door during a slow time of year.
I want to push back on that a little bit, because what you're basically saying is that people are becoming more and more savvy about these offers too. People like the guy you mentioned, especially the deal hunters. So what happens if the bulk of the people, the 24,000, were poor college students, or even worse, the frugal millionaire next door type? They could literally walk out, do the same thing that this guy did, not buy any drink, no premium toppings, have water with lemon instead of soda, eat massive amounts of pasta and salad, and leave only having to pay taxes on the meal, or not even the taxes, just a tip.
Based on the averages, I haven't seen that. And if you look at the, you know, they sent me a list, for example, of the Olive Gardens that get most visited, and they're kind of all over the country, the people who use this. But I do have a slight suspicion that you're onto something, because what we looked at back when I won the pass and wound up writing about it was the distribution of passes won, and they tended to cluster around people where places where there are lots of programmers, like Silicon Valley and places like that. So I have to think that maybe those people didn't go, you know, they have plenty of money in Silicon Valley anyway, but I mean they gamed it a bit, because this is a matter of, you know, how quickly you can click. And so I think some tech-savvy people figured out how to kind of maybe jump ahead of people in line. I mean, they're all over the country, but there was a suspicious number of them in those tech corridors.
And this is a slightly tangential question, but I'm dying to know the answer to this one. What happens if you're one of the 50 who qualify for the lifetime pass and you pay your $500, but you lose it 5 or 10 years later? Will Olive Garden replace it, or you just out of luck?
I don't know. I guess they have a record of you having it. They did send me a really weird stat about the lifetime pasta pass people. They said, okay, if you live 60 more years, which, I mean, probably is going to take a few years off your life expectancy if you eat there too often. It's not light cuisine, but I mean, the one combo I had was like just the meal was 2,000 calories, which is more than I have in a whole day usually. my son made me get it, you know, when we were there eating together one time. They said if you ate there for 60 years, you would have bowls of pasta that stretched as long as 98 Leaning Towers of Pisa.
You know, so I sort of envision the 92-year-old guy walking in there and saying, young man, in 2019, I purchased this pass.
Yeah, I mean, you know, why not? You know, I did discover, I mean, I think I'd eaten at Olive Garden one time, like just in desperation before winning this pass. And it kind of really grew on me, actually. I thought it was fine. You know, you think like you're here in New York City with like, you know, probably some of the best Italian restaurants, not in Italy, you know, surrounding you in one square mile in Manhattan. And I thought it was okay. It's kind of like a really friendly place in the middle of New York City. And I also met an Italian guy eating there. He was sitting next to me because I went alone a lot. You know,
oh, wow.
I couldn't drag people from the Wall Street Journal every day. And so I sat at the bar where you sit with people, and you know, I was very curious about him, but he said it was really good. I said it was as good as your mother, and he said no, but pretty good.
Close enough,
yeah.
Huh?
He was, you know, said you can't really ruin pasta.
All right, that's Wall Street Journal Heard on the Street editor Spencer Jacob here in our studio. Spencer, thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm Lee Hawkins in New York for the Wall Street Journal.